Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Andrew Schmidt, IBM Linux Program Manager. Sir, you may begin.
Julie, thank you very much, and good afternoon, good morning, good evening to all the folks worldwide, depending on your location, and welcome to Novell's first 2001 Linux for Systems ISV LDP update call. Today we have two speakers, Frank Curran and Kay Tate from Novell. They are both ISV program managers. They will be taking us through the presentation that is on their Novell website. This call will be recorded, and the audio will be replaced on that site shortly after the call, in case you'd like to re-listen to it. Just as a reminder, the URL is www.novell.com/partners/IBM/systemzisv.html. Again, www.novell.com/partners/IBM/systemzisv.html. So we appreciate their attendance. As Julie mentioned, there will be a Q&A at the end of the call, and I will now turn it over to Kay Tate from Novell. Kay, take it away.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I was going to introduce the call with a few words. Many of you are probably aware that the transaction with Attachmate and Novell has completed. So we're still here, we're still in business, we're still SUSE. The SUSE family of products centered around SUSE Linux Enterprise is still the most interoperable platform for mission-critical computing. We also sponsor the Open SUSE Project, a worldwide effort that promotes the use of Linux everywhere and creates one of the leading Linux distributions as part of the free and open source software community. It's very much business as usual for us. So we wanted to let you all get updated a little bit on our status. You will see a lot more about the SUSE brand, the SUSE name, in the near future. And so sort of with that introduction in general, we are really excited to talk to you today about a new offering that we are just beginning to beta. So you're really on the ground floor of this one. We're really excited to have this particular call and this particular audience to start with. Many of you are probably aware that we have been working with SUSE Studio for not quite 2 years yet. We started out on x86 and x86-64 platforms, and what we're going to talk to you about today is expanding our footprint and your opportunity to use this tooling and this infrastructure with System Z. As I said, we are really fired up about this. Our agenda today is going to give you some of the basics for what is already in the marketplace, what has been there for quite a while, sort of our perspective, how we address appliances and the sort of push one button thinking. And Frank is going to take you through those kinds of things. And then I'm going to talk to you specifically about some of the aspects of really using SUSE Studio, a little bit about what it really looks like. I think you'll find this very exciting. Even if you haven't looked at the other product, this is really, really cool technology. It is award-winning technology. So with that brief introduction, I'd like to turn it over to Frank.
Thanks, Kay. Welcome, everybody, and thank you to IBM for allowing us to showcase SUSE Studio and our appliance program and the new beta program. So thanks, Andrew. The agenda, we're going to go through kind of the appliance definition, the appliance marketplace, appliance benefits, the current SUSE appliance program, our toolkit overview, and then we're going to jump into our SUSE Studio extension for System Z and kind of the call to action and question and answers. So that's our agenda for today. So I'm going to start right into, you know, the definition of an appliance. And most people, when we start talking about appliances, they automatically go to hardware. And we've, as Kay said, we started kind of on the x86 side. And the definition we've put together is a software application combined with an operating system designed to run on industry-standard hardware or a virtual machine. And really, to make it basic, what we're trying to do is almost think of it as a toaster, right? You have a chance to take the toaster, different settings, light, dark, medium, what type of toast, thick, thin, bagel, whatever. You put it in, you push down the button, and out comes your toast. And that's what we're trying to do, make it simple, easy to use, kind of a plug-and-play with all the features and functions together, self-contained in this unit. So that's our concept of an appliance. The next part, where I want to talk about is where the industry, from the analysts, have seen, appliance model and where it's going. And basically, it's a growth opportunity. It's been, $700 million up to about $1 billion. I would say it's even going further from that based on, from the analyst reports back in 2009. We've actually seen more growth in that area. And we're really excited about this opportunity, and we think the market's been adopting it. So from that standpoint, as we look at kind of who's doing it and why, we think it's really on the idea that it's revolutionized software delivery, and we'll take you through some of that, but it's really helping a lot of our ISVs and customers. What we're seeing is get to market sooner, new markets, and a faster and efficient way that you can deploy your applications to the industry in a solution stack in one way, almost in a Legos kind of format. So, we're pretty excited about that. I think in many ways where people have seen the traction is people trying to go to new markets. So over the years, many people have been trying to get into SMB, and this was one of the ways that people were really trying to get into that market. Take something that was very big, compartmentalize it, make it smaller, take those web applications and the infrastructure, take some of the BI solutions, and bundle those together. And what we've seen is some people have actually been brought into new markets where they've bundled or partnered with other people to get into healthcare, for example. We've seen a number of our partners get into healthcare in small doctor's offices, in other just general practitioner offices, or small businesses. So you can bring in your phone system, you can bring in your business intelligence, your back office, and bundle all of that together. So some of the uses that I've seen in talking to some of my customers and partners. If you look at the next slide where we're talking about the ISVs and how they're looking to simplify and create new markets, one of the keys is shortening the sales cycle. And what I've seen there, again, giving you some examples, is we've seen people move from their demos and POCs, getting those down from months to weeks. Because if you look at it, sometimes in cases we've all probably been in, you get the product and you try to wait for someone to buy a piece of hardware, or you try to get them to configure the OS or configure the database. And in this case, what you're doing is now bringing all of that on site. And we're going to talk about System Z, but if you go back to the x86 model, you can do that on a laptop now. You can bring a thumb drive in. So the way that people are shortening that sales cycle is helping them. And one of the other areas we'll talk a little bit more is how you can make these images and on the fly change them from a cloning process through RPMs and overlays. And we'll talk more about that. But my partners and customers are pretty excited about that ability to get revenue faster and be more efficient and be able to do that. And in some cases where we're talking about easier support and simpler installation, I've kind of covered that. But the easier support also, I know one security product has over 70 pages to do the installation. So now if you add that security product on top of the OS, on top of some piece of middleware, you have four books of 67 pages. So what's happening is some of our customers are seeing the calls for support reduced over 50% in different areas. We think that's some of the ways that we're helping go to the market. For the end users, it's definitely taken that whole solution, and now they can get up and running faster because, again, they don't have to have someone figure out the installation. It's kind of that press and play, push the button back to the toaster idea, that now you can put that in the corner, get it running, and get up faster. And I think also, as we're trying to be that perfect guest, which we'll talk about a little bit more from a hypervisor standpoint, you know, there's multiple ways to do it. And so you can, you know, start in one image and move to another. So you might use, you know, one certain image of a thumb drive and move to the hypervisor, but you're using the same bundle and stack. When you get to the different types, moving on to the types of appliances and the heritage of our SUSE appliance toolkit, you know, there's different form factors. So, you know, we have the ability to create these applications on live CDs, bootable USB drives, ISO images. And then you can get down to virtual, where we're talking about being a perfect guest, where we're pretty agnostic. So you can go to VMware, KVM, Xen, Hyper-V, and others. And one of the other ones, which is really exciting, is our cloud version with Amazon and our partnership. So you can take the image and apply it through an AMI to get to Amazon, and then you can do the hardware appliance, which we'll talk a little bit more. But to give you examples why this is relevant, is I'll give you a couple. One, we have one customer who's kind of a gas station provider, and a number of their customers don't have CD drives. So he's trying to prevent the whole sales and driving around the world. He can send out USB drives. If you're at a trade show in kiosks, in retail stores, we have a couple of retail partners who are using this, so they're building the images and putting them on USBs. We have a Rational partner, to stay in the IBM family for a second, who has taken three or four Rational products, compressed it down on an 8-gigabyte USB, and deploy that out. And when you get to the idea of you know, cloud implementations, it's really, you can do this very rapidly. You can build that image, and then it's kind of that fast on-ramp for the cloud, because people we know don't want to get into the pricing and deal with that issue or have the infrastructure to do it. So taking the image and being able to deploy that to a private or a public cloud has helped them you know, get their business going. So let me talk kind of high level about the whole program, because it really truly is a program. And we're excited about this because it's really an end-to-end solution. And I think on the front end, you'll see that we have, you know, all the tools and technology, and we'll talk about that in more detail, to the idea that we have support for the platform, support for the tools, and then we're working with a go-to-market strategy with our partners, and we're helping them get to channel matching and some other areas. And we've had a lot of partners meet each other and form new partner relationships. So as you think about building those Legos in that stack, you know, it might be a database company partnering with an ERM, and they said, gee, we really like to partner with a CRM solution. Who are you working with? And it's another component that I'll talk about in a minute, our SUSE Gallery, that's really creating partner synergy and opening new markets. So the high level, you know, we give you the tools, we have support, we're partnering with you to go to market and look at strategies and partnering to partnering. So that end solution is really helping our partners and customers to extend their base of customers, potentially partners, and working with ourselves like IBM. If you look at the next slide, which is the SUSE Appliance Program, what you see here is there's something for everybody. So as we go out to our different partners and constituents, you know, we're working with ISVs, we're working with system integrators, we're working with VARs, and we're working with distributors. And you'll see that the main themes are shorten the sales cycle, which, again, I talked about that. But I'll give you an example of a systems integrator that we worked with. There's a case study on the website. This system integrator was trying to implement, they had to put in 90,000 instances of a product, an identity security product. But they were doing it 1,000 at a time. And they were excited because they could build SUSE Studio, build the appliance, and then deploy it, and they had the ability to do that, you know, 90 times. But if you had to do it as a custom manual process, it was going to take them forever. And what they saw the reduction. They were one of the ones that saw from weeks to days. And what also happened was, because of our cloning technology, they were able to make changes on the fly because they had to add some other security into it. So when we were looking at this, this was a great example. This was a highly secure facility, critical application. So again, the appliance, you know, works in that area, and they were very excited. From the VARs and DISTI side, we've had a number of people who have been able to, again, speed up their revenue. One of the key strategies and initiatives for a lot of ISVs and partners and customers is, you know, we get the product to the door, and sometimes it's in phases, and you really don't get the whole product delivered. And it's hurting our bottom line and hurting our revenue. So with the idea that you can get this appliance out faster, get the implementation done faster, people are recognizing their revenue faster, and you're not losing it. So a number of our partners are pretty excited about that, because now you're definitely solidifying your revenue stream. And I think with the ISVs, really, they're pretty excited because they can give themselves a way to deploy this with partners, help their partners sell faster, cheaper, and better, because you build those Legos, they can also add more Legos and components, whether it's databases or other applications, and then do services behind it as well. So whether it's an ISV or systems integrator, they're seeing the benefit of taking the stack, adding their secret sauce and services, and making more revenue. And it's repeatable, right? And that's the piece where, again, it goes back to you're not fighting with a manual process. I think that, if I leave you with one statement, that's one of the biggest pieces that we're really helping with a lot of our constituents. From the technologies section, I'm moving on to the slide that says SUSE for Appliance Toolkit. Really, what we're doing is allowing you to customize the OS, you know, simplify deployments and really simplify maintenance. And we do it kind of in the build, manage, maintain mode. And this is really where we're really giving you a toolbox. And this goes to the idea that we have SUSE Studio Onsite, which is the build. There's a version that we'll talk about in a minute that's our offsite, but you really have this on-site workbench where you can bring in the applications, the databases, the OS, and really where you can configure it, test it, build it all within this workbench. And the tools within this workbench are the Kiwi support, which is many people who want to do command line work, who are, I would say, more sophisticated in development, are able to, you know, write a script that tells you to boot the system faster or take something out of the whole schema. You have WebYes, which allows you to do some of the configuration. So, you know, you want to set security parameters or who has permissions. And I think the last one is really exciting. I think a number of people have come to us, and being in the software business, this was a pain in existence to myself as an operations person, is the support. And we have SUSE Lifecycle Management Server. And this is run at the site, and really what it does is gives you those update security patches, but you control it. So instead of getting the 15 application updates from me, 15 update applications and security patches from the OS vendor, 15, you know, updates and security patches from the database at different times trying to blow up my production system, you can actually control that as the ISV and vendor. So you're the one determining, you know, what you want to send out, how you want to send it out. So this is pretty exciting technology, and this is really all the components, you know, within a toolkit that we provide, again, helping to automate that whole process for you. So if you skip to the next slide, which is SUSE Studio slide, we have two versions. We have SUSE Studio Online, which is our hosted version. And this is one we started almost over 3 years ago. And, boy, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's over 500,000 people have been building appliances using SUSE Studio. The difference is it's a hosted version, not getting the support from, you know, SUSE now. But it has all the other features, so a number of people are using, you know, SUSE Studio Online. What we're talking about today is SUSE Studio Onsite. And again, it's a behind-the-firewall proposal and product. And the reason for that is many people don't want to lose their IP. They want to control the system, the build cycles, and all the rest. So those are the two areas. You can go to susestudio.com and learn a lot more. I think one of the pieces that's up there that's very exciting for companies is what we call SUSE Studio Gallery. And it's where our partners and customers are showcasing their appliances. And it's a great way to get recognition of your name or your products. So you can put up an appliance, a CRM solution appliance, and people can take that, try it out, use it, and then if they want to buy some components or do something else with it, they can. But it's a great way to get that visibility jumpstart also, because many of these are already pre-produced, so you can actually take that and start working with one of those appliances right away. Moving on to the next slide, which is the SUSE Linux Enterprise slide. We've talked about this being a great platform for appliances. It's the underlying OS for our appliance program, and you can get different versions. We have our SLED version, which is our desktop version. We have the SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, our standard. And then Juice is one of the ones that many people are using, and Juice is our scaled-down version, but it's fully supported for critical builds. But, you're getting from an 8 gigabyte down to 400 megabytes. So real small footprint, and many people are using that because they want that size of a footprint to get the product out. So there's a number of other areas where, we have SUSE Linux Server for Amazon, which is a great partner for us and helping with being able to do that fast on-ramp to the cloud. And clearly our partnership with VMware, where they're using SUSE Linux as a standard OS for their virtual appliance program. So, many ways to use SUSE Linux, and we're, excited to do this today, with IBM. So with that, what I'd like to do is now stop, and I'm going to reintroduce Kay, who's going to talk about the System Z. And you'll also be able to see one of the things you can't see, but what Kay will do is she's actually going to show you screenshots of SUSE Studio. And so you'll be able to see how I talked about the build configuration. You'll see those tabs in her screenshots. So with that, I'll transfer to Kay.
Thank you very much, Frank. Okay, so you've seen the big picture now. A couple of things to just remind you of a little bit. Our appliance thinking that we have already been helping ISVs with is really the end-to-end thought process. It's really important to build these things efficiently. We want them to be as efficient for our partners as they are for your customers. And we want to then be able to take this thinking to the System Z. Even though we've talked about end-to-end kinds of things, what we are starting out with today is really a SUSE Studio beta that is becoming available on System Z, like even as we speak. And we'll have some specific dates and sign-ups and information and so forth for you coming up in some later slides. To sort of tune the big picture for what we're doing with Z with respect to Studio, as Frank mentioned, we know that there are a lot of people who are very cautious about where their intellectual property goes, and particularly in the Z arena. A lot of people have invested an awful lot in their intellectual property. And so the thing that made sense for Studio was to really bring out the on-site version for System Z. And I'm on chart 18, by the way. We want to take the build and update capabilities, and the things that we've learned have been very efficient for a number of other Linux solution providers, and extend these into System Z to be able to give you templates for building basic System Z kinds of things, and then to give you additional interfaces that you need on System Z that are a little bit different from some of the other hardware platforms, and to help you tailor those to what you need, what you're looking for, the best ways for you to deliver your software products. Meanwhile, we want you to have the advantage of all of the cool stuff that we've learned as far as the easy-to-use web interface, being able to put things together without having to deal over and over and over with the complexity, be able to, can up what you like to do once and then reuse it on System Z images. System Z images themselves are inherently easy to be able to clone and to put up additional images. And we want to help you take it the next step in front of that, sort of, so that it's very easy for you to build these images that you want to clone as well. And then the other thing that is really cool about SUSE Studio is that the whole process of building the images and getting exactly what you want is really tuned up and made much, much more efficient, because not only can you build these images, you can test them, you can see what you need to do with them, see what you need to add, subtract, that kind of thing, and then turn the process around, take those changes, put it back into your base template, and do a very efficient build, test, modify, and rebuild cycle. So the development time savings, as Frank mentioned, are really good. And so we want our Systems E partners to have exactly those same advantages. So moving on to chart 19, I'm going to show you a couple of screenshots. And we have a demo offer if you'd really like to see this exact thing on System Z. Send us a note. We'll be glad to set something up for you. The other thing that you can do that's still really going to give you the, you know, look and feel and the flavor of the experience, you can actually go out to the SUSE Studio public site and, you know, build some images there. We have the hardware behind SUSE Studio to help you do the testing and that kind of stuff. And you can actually do an awful lot of basic stuff just right there and, you know, see the kinds of things that Studio can do for you. So would encourage you to take advantage of those offers. Meanwhile, I'm going to point out a couple of the things in the next few chart sets. So in chart 19, if you go out to the basic SUSE Studio site, you'll see the system X is what your target is in IBM terminology, and it's x86-x86-64. You can see here we've selected a new button, which is what you would see on our beta site, that's System Z. And so that's going to give you then, under the architecture, it's going to pre-select the System Z. And you have some options. Frank mentioned the JUICE, Just Enough OS. This is a version of SUSE Linux that, as Frank said, is sort of the minimal set. From a Z perspective, it is the minimal supportable set. So if you use this JUICE image, you'll have enough to actually have any of the hooks that you need to be able to do this end-to-end lifecycle maintenance stuff. When you get through pulling your pieces together for what you think you want in your appliance, we'll do a check for you just to make sure that you really have the critical mass for, you know, the enterprise commercial delivery version of your software. So there are a number of places where, you know, we apply this enterprise commercial thought process, which is what our System Z partners tell us they want. So we'll do these checks for you. So this is kind of your first screen coming in. You're going to pick System Z, and you're going to name your appliance. And thank you, Cornelius, for naming our appliance. If we move to the next slide, this shows you the basic sort of mechanism and process that you're going to use to pull an appliance image together. You can see next to the SUSE Studio chart, or the green bar up there, you can see Start, which is what you just saw. Then you see Software, Configuration, which is the tab that's selected, Files, Build, and Share. And what you do when you go through the process of building an appliance image is you walk through this particular set of tabs. On the software, you can pull in the particular pieces that you want to use. If you start with a JUICE image, but you need to add additional web information and a lamp stack or something like that, then you can pull in the pieces on this software tab. One of the things that's really interesting is as you're building up this set of packages that will ultimately turn into your appliance image, over on the left pane, you can see in this current one, one pattern selected, 17 packages selected, and then you have total packages. And then you can also see the user space and the download space. So the download space is an approximation of if you zipped up the package, how large you would expect it to be. So I mean, particularly when we're working with the x86-64 arena, this download entity, you know, if it's something that you're going to put onto a USB stick or something like that, you may want to pay particular attention to this so that you know how big everything is. As you add all of your own files and applications and so forth, this calculation is going to be updated for you. So you'll have a good sense of, you know, how am I doing from a size and a footprint perspective as you go along. Okay, we sort of talked about software. This is the top part of the configuration screen. You can see that you can select locales, time zones. One of the things that is particularly useful to a lot of people we're already working with is to be able to determine when the network configuration gets done. Sometimes you really need to do it right when you start things up. Sometimes you really just want to say, you know, use DHCP. Sometimes there's a specific configuration. We let you select when you want to be able to do this, so that you can use one selection when you're actually going through your test and rebuild cycle, and if you need a different selection when you're doing your final packaging for deployment, you can use a different selection. So we give you some flexibility. On the users and groups, if you have an application user that you always want in your configuration, then you can pre-create that user. So that's pretty cool. So it helps you do a number of these things up front. You can see here on this chart also the firewall is selected. If it turns out that you didn't select the firewall, you get down to the end, and then you say, okay, I want to put in some additional networking stuff. You think about it, well, I really want some network configuration. If you needed to put in the firewall, you'll get a little error message over, or you'll get a message. It may or may not be an error. You decide whether it is or not. But you'll get a message over on the left that says you really ought to put in the firewall configuration because, you know, there is a dependency here. And so you have the option to click the message, get the firewall added in to your normal package set, and so forth. The studio checks on a lot of things for you to help you build the right kind of configuration and to give you the enterprise robustness. We sort of look at a couple of the other tabs. We're going to spend a lot of time on this chart. You can see the files tab. You can add all kinds of different files to your configuration. You can add RPMs. You can add flat files. You can add configuration files. You can add repositories under the software tab if you have sets of those that you normally use and that kind of thing. So you have a lot of flexibility with what you can put into your appliance and get built successfully. So if we go to the next slide, we actually have a little picture here of the build tab. And this is the first place where you're actually going to see some System Z-specific stuff. You can see on the default format, you've got choices of ZFCP, and then there's a drop-down. The other selection is DASDY. So you can build different disk formats depending on how you want to do your deployment. And then, you know, you can see on the bottom as we've got a ZFCP and we've got a version 001 and it's expected to be about 175 meg. And then underneath that, you can see this view supportability report. This is where we do the checking for you to make sure that before you actually hit the build button, before you invest any cycles in doing an actual build, you know, do you have the right stuff in it? Is it enterprise commercial grade stuff? Is it going to be able to fit into the supportability infrastructure and that kind of thing? If you go to the next one on 22, you can start to see there's just the beginning of a bar, a green bar going across that says, you know, yes, it's going to set up the build environment, and then it's going to do the build, and then it's going to do the final checking, and those kinds of things, and it'll tell you, you know, all the stages that it's going through. And then if you go to slide 23, this is where we've actually finished our build. Again, you can see the supportability report, configuration information for the memory, for the disk size, DASD, whichever one you've picked. The other thing, and you'll see actually, we've got the 177 megabytes for the specific size on this one. You'll see to the right of that, sort of on the lower right side, test drive. If you'd like to see what it really looks like to boot that appliance that you just built, you hit the test drive button. And since this is designed to be installed on your own site, on your system Z, then it will use your resources that are right there to be able to do the test drive so that you'll have access to be able to, you know, look at the files, do the attachments, whatever you need to do to see what the appliance actually looks like, and then you'll be able to easily pull any of the changed files. If, for example, you actually need to boot it to start up your initial, some of the installation parameters, instead of pulling in a configuration file up front because you didn't quite have the right configuration file you wanted. You can take the test drive file that was created and pull it back into your basic appliance information, do a rebuild, and then start from there again. So that's really cool. Then if you want to do a download and save that file, you can do that. Again, there's the view files. You can look at all the files that were involved and see, you know, if which files were changed. So you can do some very interesting types of validation and checking and updates from this particular screen. So it's very cool stuff. Then you can see along the bottom there is a clone button. If you would like to build several different variations, you can do that as well. So slide 24, where are we? We're ready to have you start, you know, letting us know, does this work for you? We're extremely interested in your feedback. We've had a couple of years of feedback from another part of the Linux marketplace, and they've helped us greatly in tuning up the usability, what kinds of things are make their lives very much easier in building these specifically deployed images that we talk about as appliances. We would really like to be able to do the same type of thing for System Z. We know some of your needs are probably a little different from some of the needs of the x86 and x86-64 ISVs. We also know that probably some people on the phone have both architecture-based products. So we're very interested in how we can assist you you know, how we can sort of build a community around the beta to say, what do we need to do, what's most effective, and that kind of thing. And in the beta, if we look at the next slide, we actually will be doing this via a mailing list. So you'll be able to exchange information with other people who are participating in the beta. You will be able to speak with our developers, get feedback from them, give them great ideas and information and that kind of stuff. Our beta 2 that we expect to announce publicly is targeted for later this month. And we are really excited about being able to do this. Some of us have been waiting a very long time for this, especially those of us who have been sort of, you know, talking to and working with the CISV community for a number of years. It really looked like there were some slots where this could really be a helpful step for a number of people that I've talked to over a period of time. Our next steps in the beta, if you go to chart 26, send Frank an email. So, you know, send him your name, your company, and your company email, and we'll get you registered into the beta. And for the different beta packages that become available over a period of time, you'll have not only the beta, the announcements will come with a README, and then the actual studio itself will come with installation information, may get updated over time, and it will also come with a list of update logs for, you know, what's new since the previous beta, so you can do a little bit of picking and choosing. If you'd like to install everyone, we'd actually be thrilled. If you'd like to see what this really looks like, we would be happy to schedule a demonstration for your technical team. They can ask questions. You can ask questions that are specific to your particular situation. And then the other thing is that if they just want to kind of see what this whole thing is about, then you can visit what we call our Studio Heritage website, which is SUSEstudio.com. And there's a short video there where, you know, you can get a general idea of what it's about. But you can go in and build your images, you know, kick the tires, as we say. We're really excited about being able to do this on System Z. And so I guess with that, I've sort of covered some studio basics. We are also, of course, happy to talk to you about the rest of the infrastructure and how we can help you, you know, maintain things in a very much easier, you know, sort of appliance, one-button kind of thinking mode. This has really been studio today. So at this point, I would like to open it for questions, for comments. If you have feedback for us already on studio, I would like to open the floor. I have several additional studio experts on the phone with me, and some of our team who's been working with this new product.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your name, and record your name. If you would like to withdraw your question, press star 2. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. One moment, please. At this time, there are no questions.
Okay, Julie, thank you very much, Frank. Thank you very much, Kay, for that information. I know Kay's been very excited about this over the last few times I've spoken to her, and I hope that that excitement certainly seems to have come through on her presentation. I'd like to thank everybody again who has been on this call to give us your time today to listen to Novell talk about their first of what I assume will be a couple of presentations this year for the Linux Distribution Partner Update Call for Linux and System Z. Now, there is a email address in the presentation, susie_isv@novell.com. If you do have additional questions, perhaps you were shy or you think of something later on you'd like to get in touch with the speakers, they can certainly do that as well. As I mentioned earlier, we will have the audio portion reposted on the Novell website sometime in the near future. And if you'd like to re-listen to that, we certainly welcome you for that. So again, thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to seeing and speaking with you again on our next LDP call in the future. Have a great day.